Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now new customers, when you sign up and use promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 bet, and when you win, you will get $200 in bonus bets instantly, thanks to code DNVR and thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I'm Susie Hunter. We survived opening day at Coors Field.
We did it.
We did it. It was so much fun.
It was great.
Some might say the vibes were immaculate.
I'm surprised we still have enough energy to like be getting up and doing this. It wasn't a long night, thankfully.
Thankfully, yes.
Seeing as the game was 45 minutes, 46 without commercials.
Was it 2 hours and 20 minutes? Something like that?
218.
218. That's what it was.
Props to Linda. What's going on up in Fort Collins there?
Yo, Fort Collins representing on in the border, chat.
On the border of Canada up there. We'll talk about opening day. We'll talk about those vibes. Mm-hmm. Susie's got a fun game to kind of put life in perspective for us. If you're under 30, you'll enjoy the game more. If you're over 30, you might go, oh, yeah, I'm old.
If you're exactly 30, you'll be like, oh,
Like, I was kind of busy, you know, birthing myself, borning myself.
Yes, that's the term.
Let's just opening day in general, all the vibes. Let's break that down.
Yeah. Where do we start?
The sights and sounds. Well, you know, we're in the clubhouse early. That was great. There was a lot of buzz. And there's always more people that show up to opening day.
So many people.
And then, like, maybe when there's a fireworks game. But maybe not, because the Rockies don't play on the 4th of July this year. So we saw some of the TV people that we know and love.
Yes.
And we're probably not going to see them again until September.
Great seeing you. See you. No, we probably won't see them in September. We'll see them at opening day next year.
Yeah, could be. Sometimes they'll show up for the final game just to, oh, you know, what does this season mean to you? And blah, blah, and the fans, and they do the walk around and everything. But
we're not here. We're not here to talk about how we don't see the TV people. We are here to talk about how everyone loves opening day so much that they stop everything to participate in it.
I love not only the fact that we got a chance to hang out with the community at Ice House, but we have to walk there. So we got to go through McGregor Square and get to like see everything and get a feel for these crowds. And there you can see it's jumping at Ice House. There's Eric there. He's got a spot along the railing with Mr. Vogt there.
Oh my gosh.
It was a great spot to be in the sun. Adam somehow was walking around in just a t-shirt.
T-shirt. I will say at that time of the day when you were in the sun, it felt kind of nice.
Yeah.
And also they've got heaters on that deck.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They did have heaters up on that deck. So
the new shirt was on sale. Yes. They sold a bunch of shirts, bunch of hats. Was fantastic. Yeah, I was a little cold being on the field. I didn't have a jacket on, so my hands were a little bit cold.
I was freezing.
So I had my jacket on when we were on that little patio at Ice House. So I was like building up extra heat.
This is maybe my favorite picture, us with this inflatable dinger.
Yep. You.
I'm the only sober person in this picture.
And you, and exactly, and you're the first person that someone's going to draft in the drunk pool. They go, all right, first pick, right out. Is there somebody in the dinger costume? No? Okay, I'm going Susie for the first pick, and yet you weren't.
I was not,
So that's why that is a great picture. You're right. The juxtaposition of it all with Brendan and Marissa. That was really cool just getting to see everybody and the excitement, people with their jerseys of players that no longer represent the Rockies anymore. Yes. It's hard. There's not too many Crones out there. A couple McMahons. Mm-hmm. Bryant and Blackman are probably the two most popular. Blackman definitely number one.
Of course, yeah. He's then done Bryant. This. He's done so many opening days at this point.
Yeah. Bryant. Freeland also. Freeland's probably the second most popular jersey that you see around. But I saw a nice vintage Butch Husky jersey.
Wow.
He was on the Rockies for like 2 months in the year 2000.
Who committed to this jersey?
So I was like, can I take a photo of your jersey? And he was like, of course. And then proceeded to like tell me his life story. I'm like, it's worth it for the photograph. But he knew what he had. So he knew that I was going to have to be forced to sit through his story. And he's like, well, no, I was 35 in the year 2000 and Butch Husky wore 35. So I got it. He's like, I like Kirby Puckett. I like Butch Husky. They reminded me of one another.
Honestly, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would do that.
And now that jersey is like, it was the best one that I saw on opening day because it was a road jersey with pinstripes. Rockies actually had a road pinstripe jersey. They kind of look like pajamas, but we're getting to that point now where they've retired them for so long that it would be pretty cool to
bring
them
cool
back.
Again. They're cool again. My favorite jersey that I saw, it's a favorite that we've seen before. Yep. This must be his season ticket spot, but he only wears this jersey maybe once or twice a year. The Tacos jersey, number 7.
And it's a proper jersey. It's not like a giveaway. And also, I don't know that they've ever had a giveaway of a jersey like that. I do actually. I picked up at a vintage spot when I was just looking to just grab every old Rockies like t-shirt giveaway that they had. So they had one where it says, you know, we want tacos and had like a Taco Bell logo on it, but it was just like a black shirt. It wasn't a jersey. It didn't have the number like the tacos guy had. We also saw like an 11-year-old boy with a Bud Black jersey. Kids are wearing manager's jersey.
I mean,
low key going to be in the top 10 of best jerseys this year because of who was wearing it.
When it's Bud Black, I mean, the kids love Bud Black.
The kids do.
They do. Gen Alpha, big Bud Black crew.
That's it. Yeah, they had the, whole first pitch ceremony, which was amazing. Round of applause for the three that came out. The anthem was beautiful. They unfurled the flag. I think that might be a bigger flag than I've ever seen.
It was, I mean, it just takes up the whole field.
It was gigantic. Like, I don't even think Costco sells those size. Like, it was gigantic. And then
I don't think they do.
They also had, so they have, you know, I wonder how many people was holding the flag. I would probably guess 75.
Okay.
Let's say somewhere like there. And then 60 people holding these small Rockies flags on the first and third base side, not because they were huge, but because it was in the exact shape of the flag.
Yes.
So like every corner, every nook and cranny.
In the shape of the logo.
In the logo, yes. And which was really cool, but
it
required a lot of people for a very small flag.
But it looked great.
It was very cool.
It was a nice touch. I would love to see, I haven't seen any aerial shots yet, but I would love to see some aerial shots.
Yeah, those flags, I popped for those. Those were really neat. Got the fly over there, which was fantastic. Made sure to keep an eye on the players to see what their reactions would be. And, you know, Charlie says how much he loves the flyovers. I know he talked with you about it before, and he wasn't sure about what was going on. It's his 10th opening day, 10th home opener, and he's still like, wait, what are we doing here?
Yeah, do we have that clip loaded into the show?
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, okay. Because I, whatchamacallit, I did.
Yeah.
It's in Dropbox if we want to play it, but.
Yeah, so he.
We had a great chat.
It was
cool. He's so funny.
It was funny. So I watched him and a couple guys watched the planes go over their head. Justin Lawrence had his head up. So Charlie watches the planes go over and then they're gone. And he's still looking, like he can still kind of see them, like they're still in frame. Like
so
he
wholesome.
Went like every possible second until it goes over the top of the stadium. He's still looking. He's still doing that. So I thought that was it was great that he craned his neck, and they did get a sellout. They did get just over 48,000.
I got a little nervous because early in the game, it did not look like it was going to be a sellout. But I think people were just, you know, taking their time, enjoying all the festivities outside of the park. Having an extra beer, maybe.
Yeah, somebody had asked that in the post game, and I didn't pay attention to the crowd that much yesterday. Again, the game's moving by so quickly, working on different things, getting all the ducks in a row.
We have a lot to do during a game, but I noticed like some people in the press box, some of the people that you know we don't normally see, only see on opening day. Some of those older guys were just like, "Ooh, this looks a little more sparse than other opening days."
Mm.
So they were noticing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So did you notice that maybe by, you know, the end of the game or sixth, seventh inning, whatever, that it did actually fill in?
I think it looked much fuller.
Okay. I just wonder if they pumped the numbers up a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, they might have pumped them up a little bit, but it definitely didn't look like full.
No.
It wasn't like the kind of crowd where everyone was in their seats.
Sure.
The whole time.
We had, and this is pretty amazing that in the 30th, first game at home, in the 30th anniversary of this brand new team in Colorado, the game was both started and ended with a Coloradan. Like, how cool is that? Kyle Freeland going 6 2/3, mm-hmm. gets the standing ovation, and then you got Pierce Johnson coming in for the save. Nine-pitch save.
Perfect. It was, you could not have scripted it better. And I loved your story that you put together. But yeah, that is not by accident.
Apparently, yeah. You know, Kyle Freeland spoke with us and said, like, and we've, you know, we've known this, and mm-hmm. It's nice to kind of get the confirmation that they should be able to say that, like, hey, Bill Schmidt is trying to bring back a lot of the Colorado players. Now, there's not a ton of Colorado hitters. David Bodie, probably mm-hmm. one of the only ones. I mean, the greatest Colorado hitter in the state's history is like Chase Headley. And you go like, oh, he's got the most home runs for a Coloradan.
Hmm.
Exactly. That's the response that you'd get. But the pitchers, that's the thing, pitching at altitude. And they've been, you know, very effective over the years. So Freeland saying, yeah, you know, Bill Schmidt's going out and getting those guys. That was one of my bold predictions at the beginning of the year, that the Rockies would have five Coloradans rostered on the team.
Hmm.
And I'm taking a win on that one because we've got three on the opening day roster with Freeland, Pierce Johnson, of course, Ty Block,
mm-hmm.
Lucas Gilbreth on the 60-day IL.
Yeah.
And I'm claiming Connor Siebold. He's a Coloradan. He lived here for a while.
Yeah.
I'm taking a W on that.
Okay, you can take the W.
I will.
You can take it. I'll let you have it.
I'll feel good about that. And then, even beyond that, the score is 1-0. That's only the 12th time in Rockies history that we've had a 1-0 game. Rockies have won 9 of those 12 games, and only the 11th time it's happened in Coors Field history.
Never. Like, this is not a Coors Field type of score.
It's so wild that it just all went down like that. In 2-18, so quick. Freeland was outstanding, 6 2/3 scoreless innings pitched. He's now up to 12 2/3 scoreless innings to start his season. The most for any most innings pitched of scoreless performances of any Rockies pitcher to open their season.
Kyle was dealing yesterday. He's been dealing all season, two starts.
Yeah, back-to-back 6 innings or more pitched and no earned runs. And I'll have another opportunity here against St. Louis. That will be interesting to see if a certain someone maybe snaps that streak, or, you know, if Freeland continues it going through despite the fact he's going against his former Team USA teammate, yes. Nolan Arenado.
Yes. Speaking of Team USA, I am glad that we've been able to get so many innings out of Kyle, because he didn't really get a ton in the WBC. So I think that was a concern for Buddy.
Great point. Yeah, he's ramped it up really quickly. I think he was at 89 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He was only at like 58 through 5. And so it was like, oh, he could go really deep. But again, because, you know, he had that kind of modified spring training, in a sense, you want to be cautious. And so that was fine. Lawrence came in, got the job done with a runner on first base. So helped preserve the lead, which was fantastic. Best home opener performance since 2010, when Jorge De La Rosa threw 7 scoreless innings against San Diego. And I know Robert likes that in the chat, because he likes it when the Rockies beat those evil California teams. So it's going to be a while until one of them comes, because we got St. Louis coming in next week. Then Pittsburgh, I think, right, the week after that. So it's going to be a little while. Do you realize the Rockies don't play the Giants until June 6th?
That's so weird.
That's weird. James, yes, go Colorado, go. The state, the team, but also the state.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is in town after the Cardinals. After a nice 4 days out of town.
Yeah, weird.
A quick 4-day trip up to Seattle.
Yeah, that's a wild one. Jerks and Profar. Amazing defense, 2 great plays. He robbed a souvenir, didn't rob a home run. He robbed a souvenir because there was a kid who reached over. I don't know if he got reprimanded, but took the souvenir away from the kid on a borderline home run call, and then went full extension grab. According to Kyle Freeland, it was a Superman catch.
Yes.
It was great.
That was a great way to put it too. Yeah, Jurickson Profar was fantastic.
He was leading off, started the game off with a single, mm-hmm. which was great. I talked with him before the game. He still rocks his number 10 necklace.
Yes.
That was his number with San Diego.
Definitely can't wear that anymore.
Nope. Mr. Bud Black does have that, not giving it up. Even if you're a former Padre, he will not give that up. But he was actually asked, you know, where does that, what's the meaning for the number 10? His grandmother was born on March 10th, so that's the reason why he still keeps that, and he's bring some good vibes. He's all smiles.
He is. He's such a good dude.
Yeah, he'll be interesting to see what he's able to provide in the clubhouse. So that was cool catching up with him. Chris Bryant, we talked to after the game a little bit, had two more hits. He's hitting .357, leading the team. Had a double, had the game-winning RBI with Ezekiel Tovar there mm-hmm. on second base for a double, quote-unquote double, that I think that was lost in the lights or lost in the sun.
Yeah. It was all came down to just a missed catch out there.
You take it.
You take what you can get.
That was the difference there entirely. Elijah Montero, three hits, all singles, but guess what? That's the kid's first three-hit game. So that's pretty neat for him. That's special.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
That was cool.
I'm ready for him to pop off.
He's ready too as well.
A lot of fans.
You can see it. Yeah, he's on the precipice. You'll take the strikeouts if he can kind of, you know, hit for power, which he's shown that he's been able to do. Maybe yesterday was, you know, kind of an adjustment of like, you know what, maybe I'm not going to try to hit for power, let's mm-hmm. say. I'm really just going to try to make more contact, and He provides all of the power. That's something that Matt Holliday used to say to a lot of the young guys. Like, the pitcher's throwing the ball in there, 90, 95, sometimes 100. That's a lot of power right there. Sometimes you just need to meet the ball. You don't even need to, you know, use all of your power in that way. So try to make some contact with that.
I like that.
Another scoreless inning from the bullpen looked great. Lawrence, 1 1/3 innings pitched. He now is at 3.1 innings pitched of scoreless performances so far to begin the year. And then, Pierce Johnson, second career save. Got the first one against San Diego before the game, talked about doing it with the CR on his chest, which made it even more special. And then pretty much tops it with a home opener save here for his first home opener, because he had never experienced one before because his parents would never let him skip school. How about that?
Wow.
They were strict. He said, I resent them for that. He was kidding, of course. But he holds it against them. He's a funny guy.
He's so funny. He's one of the funniest dudes we've got in the clubhouse.
He's cool. So, I mean, it pretty much, you know, storybook. I mean, I don't think you could have really written it up any better. You could say, well, what if it was 12-0? But then you have maybe too many things going on. Too many guys over here with big days, or this guy here with three doubles, whatever it is. This was just nice and neat. Freeland, Pierce Johnson, they bookend a Rockies win in their 30th anniversary. Yes. Two Coloradans. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Whoever wrote the script for this one did a great job.
I'll say, you know, and it might sound like a bad thing, but I think it's a good thing. We don't write any scripts here at the DNVR.
No.
The only thing that we have in is Colorado sports on the TV 24/7. So we got CSU Rams, CU Buffs, whatever it is going on. Rockies are going to be there. Nuggets, Avs. Some, you know, we've got the watch parties as well. We do takeovers. We do tailgates. Head over to the DNVR.com. Make sure you make yourself an official diehard. You already are in name alone and in spirit, but make it official. Gives you access to the diehards only Discord, where we can say some things that we might not typically do on Twitter. It gets a lot of fun for that.
It does.
You get 20% off all your gear at DNVRlocker.com. A new shirt every year you'll get for free. Every year with that annual membership, could even be the brand new Rockies one that we just dropped, which is fantastic. I need to add that to my closet for sure. 20% of all the tailgates and the takeovers that we've got. So and probably the biggest thing too, if you're hanging out here and watching some Colorado sports or March Madness, we had fun doing that. So anytime there's a big event, we're definitely hosting that. In fact, we've got UFC coming up on Saturday night. You get 15% off your tab.
There's so much happening here on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah.
We have a master's party.
Okay.
With egg salad sandwiches.
Is that, do we officially do, or?
Yeah. Well, no, we do.
Is the kitchen making it, or is Spencer making it? That's the question.
I think, like, by law, the kitchen has to make it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get 15% off that as well. And you also want to make sure you check out Fubo TV, because that's where you can get Nuggets and Avs on Altitude Sports, 140 live channels. That's how I was able to keep tabs on the World Baseball Classic late at night. They've got everything. I constantly find new shows. So there's this really good app called Just Watch.
Okay.
Check this out. Download it. You'll thank me.
Okay.
You know that thing where you don't know where to watch something? go to Just Watch, you type it in, and it'll show you where you could view it.
Yeah.
95% of the time I've wanted to do that, it's on Fubo TV.
You've been loving the Fubo TV.
I have. And so now I haven't really been going to Just Watch. I just go to Fubo and I go, yeah, they have that thing that I want. Hundreds of thousands of hours of movies, television shows, sign up and start watching. Thousands of hours of cloud DVR that's included at no extra charge. As I've said before, 1996 Dana Carvey show I'm going back to watch. Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert were on that show before they were anything. So it's really funny seeing those guys.
Yeah, okay.
They got the live sports is really kind of the big thing. So watch Nuggets and Avs on Altitude Sports with Fubo TV and use the link in our description to sign up for 15% off. So you don't actually have to be a diehard for that one.
That's a great deal.
That's just anyone to jump in on the action on that. Code DNVR when you go to pinsandaces.com. They've got the liquor stick. Yes, you can put liquor in what appears to be your putter. No, it's liquor. You can have fun out there so you don't have to wait for the 19th hole. Or maybe just get overcharged by the cart that comes around that wants to, you know, sell you some beers or hard seltzers. Fear not, because they also have a solution for that, where they've got a beer sleeve, a seltzer sleeve, where you can put like six or seven of them so they go right in your bag. It's fantastic. It's a great way to be a little bit covert. If you don't want to be covert and you just want to look great, they've got some amazing polos.
They do.
Button-ups. The caps are fantastic. I always compliment Spence on his caps because he always has a brand new one from Pins and Aces. They're
always
fantastic.
Has a new one.
And they have a new like Masters cap too that you might want to act on quick. It looks like a putting green, but it's actually an egg salad sandwich with a bite taken out of it. It's really cool. And you're going to get 15% off on that because all you got to do is use code DNVR. And you get free shipping as well on that first order when you use code DNVR. One of the cooler things that they had at the ballpark for us, besides taffy, did you have any of the pieces of taffy?
Actually, I did.
You did?
I actually had like maybe five or six pieces. I had quite a bit of that saltwater taffy. I didn't know that that was a thing outside of the Jersey Shore.
Yes, I didn't. It kind of isn't. Like, it exists, but it's not a big thing. Like, oh, man, the Manitou Springs taffy is what it's known for. No, not really.
It was good, though. I actually really liked it. That's why I had so much of it.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, that is very much a Jersey Shore
But
thing.
We don't know who brought it.
We don't.
We have no idea.
We don't know what it was laced with. Actually, you would know. I guess laced with nothing.
Laced with nothing. Laced with good vibes. I'm fine.
Thankfully. Yeah,
thankfully,
that's good.
Yeah. No, I even asked TJ, who, you know, sees over the press box. And he was like, yeah, it was just all of a sudden here.
So you'll just eat mystery taffy like that?
You know it.
Even if it's not from the Jersey. If it's Jersey Shore mystery taffy, you're like, well, it's not a mystery at all. I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
But yet, Colorado mystery taffy? All right.
Yeah, I did. I risked it and it was delicious. I'm glad I did.
Wait a minute. Is this like kind of an informal ad read for some kind of CBD infused taffy that you're going to be launching?
Oh my gosh. I feel like Jive Hive should launch that.
Susie's Laffy Taffy. Wait, you better cut me in because I just did the first official ad read. So at least throw me a shirt. But one of the cool things they had was, and what was your reaction to this? They had three different game notes. One of them looked like the game notes we are used to, and the other two did not. And you were worried, you were concerned. You thought,
okay, here. So I'm gonna grab this piece of paper from you.
Top one.
So I saw this one, which is literally typewriter font. Okay,
it is.
So I was like looking at it. I was like, why did they change how they do the game notes? I'm like, why? Because like usually like they look great, you know. And I was just like, why does this look so old? And I'm like, who the hell are these players? And it took me like a solid 30 seconds to realize that this is a game note from Monday, April 5th, 1993, the first Rockies game on the road at Shea Stadium.
Yeah, that actually would be a cool throwback if you did the game notes old school style, but it also would be annoying because you're like, my brain is having a hard time reading this font.
Yes.
It's a bit much. So I'm not going to ask you a bunch of trivia questions, but the first one is too good. This is how the first ever Rockies game notes starts. The headline is, quote, "This is it. The waiting is over." And then it goes on to say, "There is no better way to describe today than by borrowing a phrase from songwriter blank." Who's the songwriter?
Oh, no. I don't
know this song title. This is it. The waiting is over.
I don't know. I don't know it.
I don't know if you had given me a bunch of guesses. I'd be like, all right, be back in 1993 to be in that mode. Kenny Loggins.
Oh my God.
You heard of him, but.
I know of Kenny Loggins.
It was a couple years past his prime, I think, a little bit. You know, Caddyshack was big.
Yeah.
I think he had a song on the Top Gun soundtrack, but that's like 88.
Yeah.
You know, Caddy. Caddyshack is a little earlier than that. Caddyshack 2. Yeah, so I thought that was really funny. The team went, spring training was in Tucson. Smashing success. They drew 127,000 fans to High Corbett Field, which is further evidence that Coloradans have been supporting their Colorado baseball team since day one, since spring training in Tucson. That is impressive. So Colorado baseball fans have always been diehards.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty neat. So they had to go from Tucson to Minneapolis to New York City. So they played two exhibition games in the Metrodome.
That's too much travel.
It's too much travel. Mm-hmm. And then when they got back to Colorado after an off day, they had like a full day of celebration. There was a parade that they had to go to. There was a whole dinner. It was a lot.
Like, I was exhausted.
I was kind of exhausted just reading it. Like, it actually was legitimately a lot. They had 18 wins, most by an expansion team ever up to that point. So I'm curious if they still have the record. I'd have to go back and look at the Diamondbacks. So they started off spring training better than any expansion team ever.
And we all know spring training counts, so.
Yeah, right? I do know that they had just signed 2 days before opening day. Dale Murphy, a borderline Hall of Fame guy. I mean, I think he'll still eventually get in. He had 398 home runs, only needed two more. He got cut by the Phillies. And the Rockies said, hey, let's just bring this guy in. So basically, in 1993, Dale Murphy was the Jurickson Profar before Jurickson Profar.
Oh my gosh.
Just bringing in guys off Jurickson the street.
Jurickson Profar.
Yeah, bringing in guys off the street saying, you suit up, you'll probably be pretty good. Kind of the sad part, though, Dale Murphy never got his two home runs. He still came up short, unfortunately.
At Coors Field, too.
Yeah, or Mile High, but at altitude.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, it wasn't Coors Field yet. Yes, still. At altitude.
Yeah, he tried to hang on, and his body was just too beat up, unfortunately. And so they played the Mets at Shea. That was the first of 12 games between the two. That's weird for a team not in your division. And
yeah.
No, they weren't in the division at the same time, because in 93, they didn't have three divisions. It was still West and East.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They're slightly less games, and they didn't overload it with teams from the same division in general. David Need, of course, got the start. He was their first pick in the expansion draft, 24-year-old, which was neat. Rockies raised a bunch of money that went to the Steve Olin and Tim Cruz Memorial Fund. I believe it was that spring training in 1993. There were three, drawing a blank on who the third guy was. He was a Mets relief pitcher, not Jesse Orozco. But anyway, three of them, they were out on a boat during spring training. It crashed. And
that's so sad.
Steve Olin and Tim Cruz passed away from that. So that was tragic. So they got together and they raised a lot of money for that, which was really cool. We also had the Rockies had an 11-man pitching staff on their 25-man roster. So they had more position players than pitchers, which if most managers had it, they would just go with a short bench and have extra pitchers.
Yeah.
But they had a limitation on that.
What an interesting strategy. So the Rockies have just been leaving people scratching their heads for 30 years.
there might have been other teams that probably applied the same strategy, but the Rockies certainly needed to, to say the least. Again, got to go back and kind of check to see, were they the only team that had 14? Shout out to Brian Werner, listens every day, does tours down at Coors Field.
Oh, nice.
One of our Sabre members. Great guy. We've become buddies over the years. He has a good little fun trivia question because Bryn Smith got the ball in the first start at Mile High, first start in Denver. And Brian likes to say that the first game ever started at Mile High, the first game ever started at Coors Field, and the first ever postseason win for the Rockies were all started by players whose initials were BS. So you have Bryn Smith in the first game at Mile High. You have Bill Swift in the first game at Coors Field. And later that year in 95, you had Brett Saberhagen starting the game for their first postseason win. So Brian Werner, shout out to you, buddy.
That's cool. So cool.
And also in the game notes that you'll see, it'll be in the next one.
Yeah.
I'll save that one for you. I'll save that one. You will really like that. Other interesting notes, they stole 50 bases. That spring training, a different world. 50 stolen bases.
It was a different time.
That's crazy. Outfielder Gerald Clark missed 17 games in the spring because he suffered a hairline fracture in the first game at High Corbett Field when he made a catch against a brick wall. Why wasn't there any padding, folks?
It was a different time. It was a different time.
Bricks weren't as hard as they are in 2023, to be fair. You are right. Also, there's a note saying, hey, Friday at Mile High coming up here, right? Because this is for the first game in franchise history. The Rockies are hoping to break the all-time opening day record crowd of 78,000 plus that congregated in 1958 at the Los Angeles Coliseum to watch the Dodgers host the Giants. First game, two California teams out there when they moved out. And sure as shit, they did.
They fished their wish. They did it.
That's it. They called their shot. All right. And then last note, on the back, Susie, will you tell me who got the loss and who started the first spring training game against David Need? So David Need, he was the first pick in the expansion draft, starts the first game in franchise history. But in their first ever spring training game on March 6th, who started that game and got the loss for the opposing team?
Is that a one Bud Black?
That would be one Bud Black. Is that crazy or what?
That is crazy.
First ever spring training game. So the first time the Rockies were in a game that counted, I mean, it's the least countable game, but it counts. People are paying attention to spring training games.
Oh my gosh.
Bud Black started that game for the San Francisco Giants. Lo and behold, becomes the manager 24 years later.
Couldn't have scripted it better.
Is that cool?
That's really cool.
I find that to be very cool. In general, let's go ahead and talk about the 95 opening day game. 922 days it took for the construction when they started it and put the first shovel in the ground. It was the first National League ballpark since 1962. That was Dodger Stadium. So like there was a big stretch, which was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Now we can't build ballparks fast enough.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. This is a good trivia question that I didn't know. So the first ever, if you look at the first ever game and then the first game at Coors Field, only three players started in both those games. Dante Bichette, Andre Scalarraga, Joe Girardi. I got to memorize that one. That's a good one.
I like that three.
That's pretty cool. There's three that started in both of them. Marvin Freeman, there's a whole bunch of notes on him. Before K-Free, there was M-Free, Marvin Freeman. Did get some Cy Young Award votes that year. You had handwritten notes. They must have been scrapping.
Well, let me see this. This is so funny.
There was the spring training notes, and I guess it was kind of late, and they were like, all right, we can't really get the typeset. They were handwritten.
Listen, things in a rush. You gotta get these notes out fast.
You got to get it done super, super quick. And so, as we were saying, the first ever game at Coors Field was started by Bill Swift. So, of course, you'll love this. All throughout the game notes, he's referenced as
Swifty. The original Swifty.
The original Swifty, Bill Swift.
Also, can we also just talk about the difference in a couple of years?
We've gone technology.
From typewriter notes to like, actually, I really like this this header. I like this header. It looks like the Coors Field architecture.
And that is why I wanted, and I'm glad they did, go with the green because you see it. Like, there's still some of the security guards. There's still some of the ushers that have the starter jackets that have purple and green on them. And you saw that a lot with Coors Field is something that Camden Yards kind of first instituted. So I love that they brought the green back and they had it for the notes. Jason Bates, good trivia question. Didn't know this one. Jason Bates still lives in Colorado. I asked him to come on the show. He said, I'm not that interesting. You don't want to talk to me. But Jason, come on. If you're listening to this, come on down. He was the first position player ever drafted by the club to make it to the majors, which I didn't know that.
Oh, that's
knew a couple
so cool.
of pitchers, but he's the first position player. They played four exhibition games here at Coors Field before the actual opening day game. Dante Bichette hit a homer in a couple of those, which was really neat. And then they've got the farm report, which you'll notice all of the teams have played at least 13 games before opening day in 1995 because there was a lockout. So that is why the first game of the 1995 season was in April, was on the 26th.
Yes.
And then finally, before the Avalanche were Colorado, the Salem Avalanche were Colorado. Salem, Oregon was the high A team of the Colorado Rockies.
Do they have avalanches in Salem, Oregon?
Well, I think there must be a mountain nearby because the logo does look like a mountain and there's a kind of like a little avalanche thing going on. Hmm. And then, you know, a couple cool shout outs to some minor leaguers that ended up, you know, making the Rockies. Darryl Scott, current pitching coach.
Yes.
He's in the notes for the first game at Coors Field.
History.
Quentin McCracken, Angel Echeverria, Nafi Perez, just to name a few of them. And New Haven took on Norwich. So Battle of Connecticut going on right there. So
the New Haven Ravens.
A lot of Susie ties in the first game notes. Who knew?
Who knew that those game notes were made just for me?
Right? That's kind of neat. Well, I'll tell you what. There's plenty of things that are made just for you over on FOCO.com.
There we go.
And plenty of things for you out there. You head over to FOCO.com. You use code DNVR. And any of the non-presale items, boom, you can use promo code DNVR and you get 10% off on that. They've got all the college teams, all the pro teams, you name it, all the bobbleheads, the Team USA bobbleheads. I got to go back and check. I feel like if I wait too long, they're going to sell out and they're just going to be gone.
What are you waiting for? Get on it.
I tell you, the cool thing with FOCO is they got stuff that you don't see in stores.
Yeah.
Like, again, the Team USA bobbleheads. Like, the Rockies, they've got a lot of great Rocky stuff, and they've got some regular MLB stuff in the Diamond Dry Goods store. But why are they going to buy, like, a shipment of Team USA stuff? Like, no one in Colorado is buying a Kyle Schwarber Team USA bobblehead.
Yeah.
So they're going to mark it down. They're not going to make a profit on that. But FOCO, you know, they don't have to worry about that. So they're going to have things that you can't get in person. Head over to FOCO.com and use promo code DNVR. For that 10% off, and if you want to save even more, rather, if you want to get a little bit more back because you've been seriously hurt or injured at work, you got to call the dudes over at Backus & Shanker.
Our dudes.
At Backus & Shanker.
Backus & Shanker.
Look, they've been helping Colorado families win for a very long time. Besides Backus & Shanker, they've got 100 folks on staff, 100 lawyers. No.
30 lawyers, 100 staff.
Did I switch the numbers?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I haven't updated this read, so maybe they've employed some more people. But you know what? They've been doing it to the tune of over $1 billion. Seriously, they're 100-person staff, 30 lawyers. They don't get a dime until you see something. So they're working for free. They're giving you consultations for free. It's super convenient. All you got to do is call 222-2222. Seriously.
All dozens.
All twos. That's it. It's that simple. Go ahead and do that. Give them a call. They got offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, Fort Collins. They can help you out with car accidents, motorcycle accidents, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can help even if you've been injured at work. Seriously, give them a call to see if you've got a case. It's free. Can't hurt. Call 222-2222 because Backus & Shanker.
Backus & Shanker.
Wins. All right. I hope I win. Because Susie,
we've got a game.
You've got something in store.
Yes.
And I could not be more tickled pink.
This is one of my favorite games to do. We did this with Ezekiel Tovar.
I love it.
I'm going to give you some things, some events, some pop culture tidbits, and you're going to tell me if they are older or younger than the Colorado Rockies. And I'm going to count it as of April 5th, 1993. So are these things older or younger than the Rockies? Oh my goodness, I cannot believe Yaya gave us this graphic of a facial hairless Charlie Blackman.
Charlie Blackman looked a lot different in 1993, I'll tell you that.
I guarantee you didn't have facial hair back then.
No, that's it. Young Charlie Blackman on the left, current Charlie Blackman on the right. One of the reasons why you got to make sure you're checking us out over at DNVR Sports channel on YouTube.
Yes.
You're here. This is fantastic. This is beautiful.
Yeah. You crushed it as always. All right. So we are going to start off with a very popular show, The Simpsons. The Simpsons older or younger than the Colorado Rockies?
Okay. Well, The Simpsons actually debuted on the Tracy Ullman show. It was just like a little skit there. At the end, it was very grainy.
The series.
And then the series debuted pretty soon after that. I want to say the first Simpsons episode was 1988. So yeah, I will say it is pre-Colorado Rockies.
It is older. You are correct, Patrick.
Older.
Yes. December 17th, 1989
was the
first episode of The Simpsons. So a little younger than you thought, but you still got it right. All right, next one. Beanie Babies.
Ooh.
These babies took America by storm. Patrick, are Beanie Babies older or younger than the Colorado Rockies?
So they really came into vogue in the mid to late 90s. In fact, like the 1998 All-Star Game Beanie Baby was just an item that people just stocked up on, put it in their closet, and were like, all right, well, there's our retirement fund because these Beanie Babies are crushing it. But they actually got their start several years before them. I want to say it might have even been 1992. So I'm going to say beanies are older than the Colorado Rockies.
They are older. That is correct. Beanie Babies were unveiled at the 1993 World Toy Fair. So actually a little closer than you thought. The 1993 World Toy Fair in New York City, and that was in February.
Ooh, just barely got it.
Just barely got
Excellent.
It in.
Whew.
How about the hit movie Mrs. Doubtfire?
Ooh.
Is that older or younger than the Colorado Rockies?
All right. Let's see. We got the little girl from Matilda. We've got the great Robin Williams. We've got one of the Lawrence brothers. I couldn't tell you who. It's not Joey. Do you know which of the Lawrence brothers?
I could not tell you.
You weren't big into the Lawrence brothers?
I think they were a little too old for me.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Were you into the Mary-Kate and Ashley? Were they kind of in your wheelhouse or were they
loved
a little late?
Loved Mary-Kate and Ashley. Did. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The great Sally Field. Pierce Brosnan was in this. Are we doing an IMDb thing? No. I think it came out like in 93, which suggests that since the Rockies debuted on April 6th, I will say it is younger, barely.
It is younger. That is correct. But just barely. Did you look at my notes?
No.
So Mrs. Doubtfire came out November 22nd, 1993.
Nice.
Yeah. Whew. That you're crushing this right now. Oh my gosh. I was hoping I could stump you.
That's it.
All right. How about the original Jurassic Park?
That almost hurts that we have to have OG Jurassic Park because there are other
There's
ones
too
now.
Many.
Shoot. That was also like 93. That came out at a time where, I was also very young enough to be going to McDonald's frequently and you would collect cups.
I cannot picture you eating McDonald's.
Is that a popular thing still? Collector's cups? Oh my
Not
God.
Not McDonald's. I don't think they do those.
You had to get the whole set. They had all of the dinosaurs. Yeah, it definitely wasn't 92. It could have been 94. I feel confident it was 93, but I'm going to say it was probably barely. It was probably a summer blockbuster. So I will say it is younger than the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, Patrick, it is younger. That is correct.
Let's go.
Jurassic Park premiered June 11th, 1993. You are good at this. Your internal clock right now is kind of scaring me.
Susie, you did not show me this. You did not show me this.
I feel like you cheated, but it's fine.
I hacked your account, and that's what I used it for. Of all the things, it was just for this game. I hacked in.
All right, how about the show Beavis and Butthead? Patrick, Ooh. Is this show older or younger than the Colorado Rockies?
Okay. Interesting. And it did come back. I think it did have
Everything
a second
comes
run on
back.
Like Hulu.
Everything comes back.
I want to say it is actually older. I'm going to say 92 is when it debuted on MTV.
Well, that's not correct, but it is older. Beavis and Butthead debuted March 8th, 1993. It is
right.
older. It is older.
I'll take the dub. No bonus points on that, though. That's perfect.
Incredible.
Do you enjoy Beavis more or Butthead more?
I never watched the show.
Really?
I've never watched an episode.
You never needed TP for your bunghole? That's a reference. That's a reference to the show.
Right. I know it is. I'm aware. I've heard references.
We don't need to get
this
HR
show
involved.
Was definitely the show was definitely too old for me during its heyday.
When it was it ever on when you were a kid? Where it was like. You're like, oh, your mom would say, oh, you can't watch that one because that's a very bad show.
No, I was like so in my Nickelodeon age. Mm. Like I was still in like my Nick Jr. age in 1993.
Were you a Nickelodeon kid or a Disney kid?
I was a Nickelodeon kid primarily.
Same.
We didn't get into Disney Channel until like maybe like my preteens.
Yeah, I'm all about Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope there's an Are You Afraid of the Dark question coming up.
There isn't.
Damn.
No spoilers, but spoiler. All right, how about this show though? The X-Files.
Ooh,
Patrick,
I never
are
got
the X-Files younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
Unfun fact about me, I don't care at all about science fiction. I don't like it at all. Never seen an episode.
Because you're so rooted in facts.
Of Mulder and or Scully. Gosh, that's pretty close. I'm going to say it is older. I'm going to say it must have premiered in probably 92-ish.
Finally got you. It is younger.
Damn it.
X-Files premiered September 10th, 1993.
Okay. I knew it was going to be close. Damn it. All right.
How about Hurricane Andrew?
Oh, okay.
Such a downer. That was a huge event.
I was looking for pictures of this, and I was like, I'm not putting in any of the ones I found.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. The Google search, yes. See, sometimes you need to be creative. That was good. You're here. This is good. And it shows Florida too. This is a good image.
So it's actually Hurricane Andrew. This is a satellite image of Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah, the camera pulled out far enough there on that one. This is a natural disaster show between the avalanche and the hurricane. It's like, what's going on here?
What is going on? I loved it.
And
we took
nicknames.
It to a dark place.
I believe that was 92. I can kind of remember, you know, reading some of the Sports Illustrated a little bit at that time. I didn't really read it, but flipping through and seeing some stuff at the University of Miami. So I'm going to say it was actually older.
It is older. That is correct. Hurricane Andrew was 1992.
Okay.
How do you remember all this stuff?
The key is you just don't forget it. That's it. It's actually that simple. You just don't forget it.
How about a movie you have modeled your style after?
Oh, no.
Forrest Gump.
No! Not today. Not today. I don't have a Forresty look today. You're right. Previously.
What do you think? Is Forrest Gump younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
Okay, let's see. One of the all-time greatest classics. And lately, it's actually become popular to trash Forrest Gump. Have you gone in any circles where you hear people talk about how corny and cheesy it was?
No.
And I kind of see it, but at the same time, it's just iconic. Now, this one's going to be close. So this was the second in Tom Hanks's string of consecutive Academy Award wins. Of course, 1992's Philadelphia was the first. Forrest Gump would be the second and mm-hmm. third. I'm actually drawing a blank on what that third one was. But it did come out in 93. Again, I will have to say it's actually younger, just barely.
It is younger. That is correct. Forrest Gump came out July 6th, 1994.
94. Okay, so Gump must have been the third one, and I'm missing whatever his second Academy Award was. Shoot.
Yeah, okay.
I'm kicking myself on that one.
How about the hit sitcom Friends? Is Friends younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
All right. I used to be a huge contrarian back in the day, and I loved the first season of Friends. And then it became hugely popular. And I go, man, forget all these people that are jumping on my show, my peeps. So I stopped watching after season one because it got too popular. And so therefore, I know it is younger than the Colorado Rockies.
It is younger. That is correct. Friends premiered September 22nd, 1994.
Yeah. Good old Friends. And they all look great. None of them have had any work done.
How about our friend Kyle Freeland? Oh. Is Kyle Freeland younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
So I think his birthday is coming up in May. So this is technically his age 30 season. As far as, you know, I think the cutoff date is July 1st. If you're born before July 1st, they kind of add an extra year on for your aged season. So this is age 30 season, but he's still 29. So therefore he is younger than the Colorado Rockies.
That is correct. Kyle Freeland is younger than the Rockies. His birthday.
May 18th?
May 14th.
14th. Okay.
May 14th. We know he's a Taurus.
Of course. Oh,
textbook
see?
Taurus.
How did I forget that? So look, see, I do forget things.
Sometimes you do. Yeah. How about Ty Block?
Ooh.
Is Ty Block younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
He's close. He's very close. He has incredibly vivid memories from when he was like 3 years old that I am a bit doubtful of, to be honest. But I'm going to say he's actually older.
He is older. That is correct. Ty Block's birthday is October 20th, 1990.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Ty Block is older amount. Than I thought he was.
Wait, wow. Yeah, I thought he was 31, but okay. There you
All
go.
Right.
The preacher.
How about, we got one more for you. This is the last one. Pierce Johnson. Is Pierce Johnson Ooh. Younger or older than the Colorado Rockies?
Now there's pressure on me because I have only missed one so far. And I got to go out on the high note. Pierce Johnson, he's also like 30, almost 31. So therefore, I'm going to say if he's 30, almost 31. How does that math work out? Does that mean he'd be slightly older or slightly younger? If he's 30, almost 31. So then that means 31. So that means he would have been born in 92. So I will say Pierce Johnson is older than the Rockies.
That is correct.
Yes!
Pierce Johnson is older. Pierce Johnson was born May 10th. Also a birthday coming up. May 10th, 1991.
Let's go. Crush this game.
All right. You did a really good job.
Yes.
You got one wrong.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
Which one did he get wrong? I don't remember.
No, I got that right. Oh.
X-Files. Yeah, because you
happy.
Didn't know anything about that show.
I'm fine with that. I don't do science fiction. I know. I love Stephen King, but that's different. I'll explain another time.
Okay. Or you don't have to. I don't care.
Going out on a high note. Feeling good about that. Feeling good about today's game. We got the Washington Nationals for three more. What do we got? Mackenzie Gore, Jose Urania on the bump.
The fountain himself.
The
Jose
fountain.
Urania.
That's it. He's spurting the fountain out there. I think I called the opening day victory yesterday. I said they would win on for the home opener. Mm-hmm. I think they'll still win two of the next three.
Okay.
Where would you have them? We'll do a Sunday post game show. So we'll see how well we did. Are you going to take them doing two out of three? Are you going to have them maybe going sweeping out?
You know what? I'm going to say they sweep the Nationals.
Whoa.
I'm going to say they sweep the Nationals.
That's huge because
I hope they sweep the Nationals. They should sweep the Nationals.
They're 3-4 right now. So victories in the next 3 days would put them at 6-4, which means, and again,
500 ball.
If we're only shooting for 500, and honestly, Chris Bryant said the only expectations are to exceed the expectations that most people have. Okay. You only got to win one out of the three against the Cardinals. And then you're at 7-7 going out on the road to Seattle. So that would be good. That would be nice
good.
To see that. That would be nice to see. You can see us doing our thing on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at.
And you can find me at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
This has been magnificent. Or magic.
Maybe
been a little magical. Momentous.
Maybe.
Yeah. Do they say something about podcasts and baseball shows about?
You know what? I think they do, but I want to hear it from
what
you.
What is it? What do they say?
That momentum is only as good as your next podcast.
So
we will do it again on Sunday after the game. Let's go.